so we have some visiting with that, and good to see all of you here with us today. I don't know, I probably can't start with who's all who, but and that's okay, all right. So, and we have some people here with us from Rhode Island, Idella Herbolt's daughter and husband, Nancy and Greg Hoffman, and their two sons and families, and some others, Jeremy and Kimberly. So good to have all of you here with us today, and everybody with us today. So a couple of things here I'll say as far as prayers. Anna's doing much better here. Just don't squeeze her left shoulder. She might punch you in the stomach. She gets her stitches out tomorrow. Yeah, thanks for the prayers and the cards. Things went well. So, let's see, Judy Fierce is continuing to heal up. She had surgery a week and a half ago. And Louie, her husband, he has fallen here several times in their home down in Yankton. So he was a couple days in the hospital this week, and then now is in Majestic Bluffs Care Center for a time of therapy and rehab. His legs just aren't holding him. All of a sudden, they're not sure why. But so prayers for them. Curtis Zabe, he had surgery this last Wednesday. It was one of the reversal surgeries, you know, the ileostomy. So he's hoping to get to come home today, the way it sounds. That's good news. I should have announced this other last Sunday, and I forgot, but Reverend Grassmid, pastor at Zion Reformed here in town, he had a surgery this last Tuesday. There was a benign tumor up here, I guess I'd say, pressing on his pituitary gland. So they were able to go up, amazingly enough, through the sinuses, remove that, and it went well, and I think he got home yesterday, if I understand right. So prayers for Travis and his wife, Charity. Let me see. The Mad Frogs won yesterday. First round of the state tournament. We have several guys in the church who are part of the team. And their next game, I believe, is this coming Tuesday at 5:30. Is that right, Tyler? Against Garrison up in Mitchell. That's where it's at. So that's great. Exciting for them. Okay, anything else over here? Pat. Oh, yeah, Pat. Sorry. Yes. Pat Palmerville had knee replacement 3 weeks ago-ish. And here she is today with us. She says, thank you for the cards and the prayers also. Good to have you back. Anybody else over here? Okay. How about over here? Way in back first, Patsy. An unspoken health request. Okay. All right. Thank you. Laura. Tomorrow is Frieda Nuss's 87th birthday. Happy birthday, Frieda. Yeah. It's nice to have June and Dave here, and I thought I saw Grant. There they are. Grant and his fiancée, Rachel, here. That's June and Dave's son. And they got a wedding coming up next June. Yeah, so. Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for this time together as the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, in your presence. Lord, much to give you thanks for, certainly successful surgeries for Anne, for Reverend Grassman, for Pat Palmerville, for Judy Fierst and Curtis Zabe, Lord, as they're all in the healing and mending process, and we do lift up this unspoken health concern, as Patsy lifted up, and you know who she's talking about, and you know the situation, and so we thank you by faith for being at work there in each of these lives, Lord, and others beyond who are in chemo treatments and various stages of the battle against cancer. Lord, you are our great physician, our healer. We look to you every day and thank you for the blessing of health and life and strength that you give to us. Father, for all that are visiting with us this morning with these reunions, it's wonderful to have them back home here, and we pray that when they return to their homes, that you give your angels charge over each and every one of them. Father, we thank you for those with child, Jenna Miller here and Alyssa Bent. They're due this month, I suppose, at any time, and we just lift them up to you. Father, thank you for these months as you've knit those little ones together within their womb. And now as the time of delivery is at hand, that all will go well. Lord, I think I heard that Caitlin, Zach, and Caitlin is with child, yes? And we pray for Caitlin too, and we're excited for them, for another little one to be joining their family, and ask that you bless Caitlin during these months of her pregnancy. Lord, as always, we lift up our troops. Thank you, Father, for guarding and keeping them. Be with our leaders, our military advisors, with all the decisions that have to be made, not just in our nation, but around the world. Father, direct them by your hand of providence. Lord, keep them safe. For our nation, daily we pray for our nation, asking for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us. Bring revival to this land, Lord. We so desperately need it that truly, as our pledge says, that we could be one nation under God. And that is you, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. Lord, thank you for these things. Other requests that were mentioned that you heard or maybe that were not mentioned. Thank you for being at work in each and all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you probably have this one memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And he does. Let's receive our offering this morning. And unexpected. So we bring these offerings, these tithes, before your throne as an act of worship. Father, so that your word can continue to go forth freely in this place. Lord, as I think about some of the reunions and gatherings here, we think about our forefathers as they came here to this area under great persecution and great hardship. With great faith. With great faith, Lord. And I pray that we never lose that in the luxuries of life that we enjoy. Lord, we tend to take you for granted. Forgive us for that. Burn a fire within our hearts and souls as it was in theirs. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And we confess our faith together now before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Okay. Just put it down here. Yeah, that'll be fine for now. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Whoopsie, oops, everything fell. Thanks. How are you guys doing? Good. You enjoying your summer? Good. Enjoy every minute of it. All right. Well, first here, I have to get a volunteer. Do you want to be it, Emmalyn? You're right up front here. Okay. Now I have to ask you some questions, Emmalyn. Do you trust me? You sure? Okay, good. Well, I want you to sit down, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Right here, I'm going to ask you to hold my Bible. Thanks, Kelly. All right, so I'm going to, I'm dropping everything. Fill this bag with water, and then I'm going to poke holes in it, but I'm going to hold it in over here. Do you still trust me?
Sure.
Are you sure? Okay, good, good, good. Well, just in case, though, here we have our little shower cap there. All right, that's cute. You want to turn around and show everybody what you look like? Maybe you're up there. You still trust me? You trust me that I'm not going to get you wet?
Maybe.
Maybe. She's at the maybe stage. Well, okay. Not surprised. So, well, here, this should help you then. Here is a beach towel to cover you. But I'm telling you that I'm not going to get you wet. Do you trust me still?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe. She's still at the maybe stage. Okay. Well, now let's see here. Where's my waters? Right here. So I want you to help me, though, here. You get to pour the water in. Just so. Okay, don't do it by the microphone. Let's do it over here. Ready? Okay, go ahead. Just pour it in there. Just pour all of it in there. Okay, to make sure. Good, you can put that down there now. How about hold the bottom of this for me so I can close it? Okay. Water's in there? Water's in there? Okay, you still trust me? Look up. All right, so I'm going to poke 6 pencils in this bag, and I want you boys and girls to help me, and you're going to say the number of pencil I'm on, okay? You ready? Would you trust me if you were her? That she won't get wet? Okay, let's see. Ready? Number. What's the matter? You're having your head down. 1. Are you wet?
No.
Okay. Oh, there's a little dripping. Here's number
3.
Oh, that one is dripping there. Oops, sorry. Didn't drip yesterday. Okay, we'll do it quick. Ready? 4 and
5.
Well, my goodness sakes. It's not supposed to drip, you guys. Ooh, it's coming out both ends. Okay, we'll take this off here. Whoa, okay, now we got a big leak. I know. One of the pencils went too far. Okay, ready, let go. We'll put it in here. Okay, Cindy, I might need you. No, it wasn't supposed to. There's a leak right there. I don't. Good luck. Oh, sorry, honey. Are you okay here? Thank you. Are you dry? Are you okay? Okay, sorry about that. Well, yesterday when I practiced that, it did not leak. The bag must have been old. Thank you, Callie. Thank you for helping us. Well, do you know, boys and girls, well, she had to trust me, right? And it didn't all work out. When I did that yesterday, it did not drip one bit.
Wait,
I think the bag was old.
Poke it over your head?
No, he didn't. I didn't show him this. I just came over and practiced it in the kitchen. Yeah. Well, there's something to do with the suction and the pencil. So you'd go try that at home, okay? But make sure you have a good bag. I think it had to do something with the bag. Maybe it was used and old. But we had to trust. You had to trust me, right? Yes, well, you know what God tells us? It's the scripture that Pastor Mike told us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And these are some of my favorite verses. It says, trust in the Lord, Laura, with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. So you all are going to be starting school pretty soon, or preschool, or daycare. And the Word of God tells us we have to trust him, right? We need to trust God that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to be with you when you go to the classroom, that he's going to be with you to help you with all the things you need help. We're to trust in who? God. God will not fail us. People will fail us. I failed you. I dripped on you. It's a good thing we had that hat on, right? But God will not fail you. So as you start school pretty soon and wherever you're going, trust in God. Acknowledge all your ways. Say, God, I love you. Thank you for being in my life. Help me today to do all that you want me to do for you. And he will. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you and we just thank you, Father, for that we are able to trust you in everything. And even though we as humans err, and my example did err today, we thank you that you don't. And you tell us to trust you, to put our trust in you. And even as boys and girls, no matter what the road is ahead in a couple weeks, we trust you to be with us and to be with them. And I thank you for that. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. And I ask you to bless these boys and girls this week. Let them have a really fun week as they prepare for the following one, school. Thank you that they'll be a light wherever they go, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get papers over there if Cindy's dry. She might have got wet too.
Thank you, Anne, for your children's sermonette. Never a dull moment at our house, right? It's what keeps it fun. This, I've had many tears and sorrows. The whole thing is not in our new hymnals, so you'll have to go with the words on the screen for this one. hopefully we, through it all, yeah, you know it pretty well, so. So we do. That's how we learn. That's how we grow in faith. Let's bow our heads, please, once more. Father, thank you for the living Word of God. Your Word, it is alive and full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern asunder between joint and marrow and spirit and soul. It is a divider of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And you speak to us by your word and by your spirit, and we're so thankful for it, and we ask you to do so today. And Lord, I yield myself unto you and to your spirit, and ask for you to speak through me to those gathered here and to myself as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 125 is where we are at. been with us off and on, you know what we're doing this summer. Before I start, let me just give a review, though, because we have some that haven't been. So from Psalm number 120 to 134, 15 psalms right together, they are called the Psalms of Ascent, going up. We know ascend means to go up. When they were written, the people of Israel sang these psalms as they were going up to Jerusalem from all parts of Israel. But it wasn't just for them, it's for us just the same today. And I hope my prayer, one of my prayers is as we go through these, that you could at least take the first verse of each psalm and say it to yourself or unto the Lord. So we start, as I've told you, with a distress call. Psalm 120 is a distress call. I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. They were in troubled times and they were on their way to Jerusalem. Being in troubled times, being in stressful times often forces us to look up. At times it can force us to change direction, even in life. So Psalm 120, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Psalm 121, you know that one. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? This is where you answer. You ready? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Right. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope you're glad to be here today. I'm glad you're here. Yes, that's verse 1, and verse 2 says, and now here we are, standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. They had arrived, and at the temple of that time, it was glorious. It was magnificent for any structure that they would have ever seen. The temple was the most magnificent of all, and here we are. 123 says, I had it. I lift my eyes to you. See, there's a difference now. 121, I lift my eyes to the hills. 123, I lift my eyes to you, O Lord, whose throne is in heaven. And so now they're there. They're looking upon the holy place and the holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant is. And yet their thoughts go back to the troubles that they've had, and they're calling out to God for his mercy in that psalm. Three times they call on God for his mercy. And when they're in there in the temple, that 124, Psalm 124, all of a sudden their thoughts go to those trials that they've had. And the 124 says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel, you're Israel, so be ready. Let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when the men came against us to devour us, we would have been devoured by their teeth. And on that psalm goes. 124, they were looking back to God's faithfulness through past trials. And we have to do that. It was so neat. Yesterday, we were up at Mitchell to that game, and so we went and stopped to see Milton Handel in the care center there after the game. And I was telling him about the Psalms, what I'm going through, and I read Psalm 124 to him. If the Lord had not been on your side, Milton, what would have happened? And he just answered me right away. He said, you know, I have gone through 5 major surgeries in my lifetime. And if God had not been on my side, I wouldn't have come through those. One of his early ones as a young adult man was had half of his stomach removed. Maybe most of you, some might know it, maybe not most. Half of his stomach removed because of a terrible ulcer in there. He's 92 years old now, for those of you who don't know him. So you go back 60 years ago, that would have been a very serious surgery, but God brought him through. It was just neat. He came right with it. Yes, if God had not been on my side, and he got an answer right there. So, but 125 now, it's looking to dealing where we're at today and to the future. 125 verse, yeah, I better read it, hadn't I? Here we go. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to the crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. That is Psalm 125. To those who trust in the Lord, what? What does God give? First point there, to those who trust in the Lord, God gives us a song. He gives us a song of holy confidence. That's what trust is, isn't it? It's all about that. And if you notice in that first verse, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. That's future tense, isn't it? What I said. It goes on, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. See, they stepped into this. You know, I think you all know, I've said this before, as the years go on in life. You know what, let me back up. When you're children, yeah, you go through things in youth, but yet you're under the care of your parents, and they sort of take care of everything, don't they? And when you get off to college and in your young adult lives and you're more on your own and you go through things, it's not that your parents aren't with you, they are, but it's a different deal. Because now you're having to test this faith out on your own. You're having to find on your own realize what it means to put your trust in God through these times. I think, you know, when Ann and I were first married and 3 months later, she was expecting, and that pregnancy was horrible, and I have to say that was one, I had never been through a test, or her, like that in my years. I had not been. Boy, that really shook us to our core, and that's, I'm not going into that story today. But it's through these things that you go in life, that you're able to look back like they were in 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we have been? Destroyed. But so 125, then we can look as we're in these, we look back at God's faithfulness and we can look ahead and say, I don't know how, but I know who. I know who is going to bring us through this. Can't figure it out right now in my mind. I have no clue. But I know God is faithful, and he holds the future in his hands. He does. So, as we go through life, our trust in the Lord should only increase, right? And if we're walking with him, it does increase. We sing that hymn, Trust and Obey, right? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. And the chorus, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so it goes. That word trust appears 134 times. That's a couple blanks if you're filling them in. 134 times in the Old Testament we see that word trust. Trust, trusting in various ways. Trust in the Lord. It is important, isn't it? What is trust? We know what it means. It means to be confident, means to be sure, and then we can be bold because our trust is in the Lord and our confidence is in him. You in the natural realm, I hear people as you're coming to surgeries, you say phrases and nothing wrong with this. I guess, well, you'll say, I really trust this doctor. I trust this surgeon. And yeah, we should. But ultimately, our trust is in the Lord, isn't it? If you're like me, you got to trust your mechanic. Because I don't know anything about it. So I trust, right? Maybe you trust your banker. Maybe you trust your teachers. And you know them to be faithful, don't you? People at work, if they're trustworthy, they are there. They are there. If they're not showing up or something and they haven't called and they're trustworthy, then what? The phrase usually is said, I know something happened. I know something unexpected had to have happened because otherwise so-and-so would be here. This is not like them. Does God ever fail you? He does not. I suppose there could be somebody sitting here. You don't have to put your hand up. There could be someone sitting here. I think God did fail me, Pastor Mike. Where was he when this happened? Where was he when that happened? Well, that does not mean he failed you. Please, he is faithful. There is an enemy of our souls, the devil, who goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is at work as well. God did not fail you. Let him show himself to you as the faithful one he is, and so we trust him. So verse 2, it goes on, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Now, some have been to Israel. You know, we've been there too. You think of that verse, as the mountains surround Jerusalem. You might think, oh, wow, must be sort of like the Rocky Mountains, huh? Where those mountains are so big and massive, and then you have this village or this little city in the midst of the mountains. It's not that way, just so you know when you go there. But the hills around Jerusalem. Yes, the Mount of Olives on the east side, it is higher than Jerusalem. You're looking down. And so the hills around Jerusalem, they are. It's sort of settled in there. It's not like thousands of feet difference of the hills and mountains around. It's just hundreds of feet of difference. But this is how it's recorded. As they surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And that's you and that's me. He has you surrounded. What, excuse me, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Depends on which translation of the Bible you look in, whether that the word angel is a small a or a capital A. You see it various ways. I like to think that it's a capital A, personally, because who does that mean? Jesus. Jesus. And yes, he uses his angels. He gives his angels charge over us to surround us. So, secondly, to those who trust in the Lord, God gives a promise. He gives us a promise in verse 3. What does it say? The scepter, you know what a scepter is, right? At coronation, we'll be having that here, and I suppose September for homecoming at the high school. You have the scepter, the king gets the scepter for the new king that's going to come in, and they say whatever they say there. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Now, does Israel today have all the land that God allotted to them? Far from it. Far from it. Just a sliver of it, really. But in time, it will be restored. It will be. And we know it because God's promises are true. See, the scepter of the wicked, that's the oppressor. Again, the enemy, the devil, as he tries to oppress the people of God. What is his goal? The oppressor. His goal is to get the godly, God's children, to give up. To give up and then to go a step further and to yield to sin. That's what his goal is. We talked about that a little last Sunday with the three Hebrew children when they were in captivity in Babylon. First, the three Hebrew children, right? The king Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue of gold. If you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. He was trying to give up their faith in God. Did they? No, they stood. How about Daniel, King Darius, next king? If anyone, for the next month, you cannot pray to anybody but the king. Daniel refused to do it, thrown in the lion's den. The oppressor tries to do that. See, as God's people, let's go back a minute. If someone thinks, no, God has not been faithful to me. No, he has been faithful to you. As God's people, we can't just expect immunity from the trials of life, can we? No, maybe you might get an immunity pass or however. It's been so long since I've seen that show, Survivor. I suppose they still do that on there. I'm guessing, I don't know. Get that immunity pass for a certain trial that you have to go through. Trials of life happen because we live in a fallen world. They do, but God is with us. And sometimes his answer is to get us out of that trial. Sometimes it is to take us home to heaven. Sometimes that is his answer. I was thinking back to Ralph Hagee, Calvin's son, and he was 52 when he passed away. His cancer started in his jaw here, and he had multiple surgeries. It spread into the tongue and beyond. And in January of 2014, it was, he passed away at 52 years of age. He was just a year older than me, a year above me in school. And I want to, as I went back to that, I thought, I'm going to pull out the letter that he wrote me before he died, part of the letter, because I want you to hear this. He had been through a lot of suffering in those years leading up to his homegoing. This is what he wrote that he wanted me to share at his funeral, and I did. I enjoyed a life in Christ in which, I'll get through it. In which he never let me down. A life with Christ that was my dearest and most precious blessing. From the age of 12, when, in no uncertain terms, I felt the Holy Spirit convicting me of my need for Christ, and a simple response of surrender prayed in return, inviting Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. Over my lifetime, ever since that day, he has proved over and over again to be my spiritual anchor. In a sea of life that was punctuated with pain, sadness, and many other difficult storms, but my life is a testimony that the anchor holds, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? The anchor holds, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. Why, there ought to be a huge amen. You think we could do that here? The anchor holds. Thank you. Oh my, yes. God gives us the promise of deliverance in his way. Third is a prayer. In verse 4, he gives us a prayer. This is the prayer, really a prayer of blessing. Oh, do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. New living, O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you. I like that. Whose hearts are in tune with you. Now, anybody think, don't answer, please. Anybody in here think you're good enough to make it to heaven on your own? You're not. I'll just tell you. You are not. No matter how good you think you might be in your own self, you are not good enough. It is only in Christ and what he has done for us on the cross that, and as we receive him as our Lord and Savior, that his blood washes us and cleanses us, and he makes us, he gives us his righteousness, which is perfect, that we are robed in his righteousness and cleansed with his blood. Then, yes, in him we are the righteousness of God in Christ. In him he makes us this good of what it says here. Do, and the prayer is, do good to those who are in tune with you, O Lord. When you think of something in tune, right away you probably think of your vehicle, right? Sometimes it needs a tune-up, doesn't it? Or we think of the piano, the grand piano. Beautiful as it is, this one has to be tuned twice a year compared to the other one just because of how it's made. When something is out of tune, if it's your vehicle, even if you don't know anything about it, You can tell the mechanic, oh, there's a certain sound that is not right. I don't know what it is, but it's not right. And these ones, you that are gifted in that mechanically, Justin and all, they could say, sure, I know what it is, and you fix it. But some of you who are musically inclined, you know when the piano's slipping out of tune a little bit, you can hear it. Others of you, you're like, oh, sounds the same to me, right? How about spiritually? Sometimes our lives can get out of tune. And that's why the importance of gathering here on Sundays to listen to the Word and to worship together. That's the importance of reading the Word daily, because it keeps us in tune. When we're getting out of tune and we're reading the Word, then we're like, oh, okay, I shouldn't be doing that. Better get lined up again. If we're out of tune spiritually, which leads to the fourth verse there, the fourth point, which is a note of warning. That's how he ends this psalm, with a note of warning. Let me read that first. Those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. See, when we're out of tune, even as believers, if we get out of tune, boy, it's a whole lot easier to get off track, isn't it? And we might not realize we're out of tune, but it shows up. Just like if your car's out of tune, it shows up. This last December, we were going to Matthew and Jenna Pressler's wedding in Valley Springs. Yeah. And so we had some errands to do in Sioux Falls. This was our old Explorer. Get up there, runs fine. Our first stop, it was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, what is going on? And so we drove over to the mall parking lot, and it's getting louder. And I thought, oh, there must be a rock in there somewhere in the brake or something. It's really, I'm not going to do it because you won't like it on your ears. Loud. And so I called Caleb. Caleb and Rachel were up there doing other stuff, thankfully, at the time. Can you get over here, please? And all in all, so, I mean, this is screeching so loud. I'm driving through the parking lot and trying to back up, if it's a rock, to get it out of there. And everybody's staring at us because this is major loud screeching. And it's embarrassing. Of course, I knew something was wrong there. Well, long story short, we had help, and it was the wheel bearing that Justin fixed. Thank you, Justin. And as I was told by someone else in the church, Pastor Mike, it's time to send that thing down the road. And we did. Thank you, Scott Nuss, since we're on the Nusses today. No. A word of warning. See, listen to Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Paul says to us, so that you may be blameless, may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. That's how it's always been. 2,000 years ago it was. Today it is still the same. In which you as believers shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, which is God's word. Yeah, so we don't want to get out of tune. That was verse 4 in that prayer, because verse 5 is the warning. It's not going to be good if we continue on a crooked way and leave the Lord behind. It's not going to be good. But the last phrase says, peace be upon Israel. Let me just, in closing, say this. I have some verses in there about this guy named Demas, D-E-M-A-S, who we read about in the Old Testament. We find him both in Colossians, and I have the verses for you, and Philemon, where he is traveling with the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes about him twice in the New Testament in a blessing way. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. That's in Colossians. Philemon 23, he says, again, these people send greetings to Philemon, and one of them listed is Demas. But you know the sad ending of that story is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, where Paul's telling Timothy, Paul's in his second time in prison now, and he's saying, Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly for Demas, listen, because he loved this world system, has deserted me and gone back to Thessalonica. How would you like your name in Scripture recorded like that as you finished your race? I would not. And I know none of us want that either. See, Demas got out of tune with the Holy Spirit and ended up going off track greatly for it to be recorded for us. But the first verse here again, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. That's Israel. I mean, that's Jerusalem. Who will never be shaken, but we endure forever because God gives us that strength to take us through the impossible times. He's faithful. Work on these psalms, okay? Think, see if you could go through the step-by-step of 120 on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those gathered here. As we listen again to these psalms of ascent, each one a step higher. And Lord, as certainly we can look back on times and trials and we see how you brought us through. Lord, I know there's people here today going through very difficult times. And I'm sure they're looking back and seeing answers and knowing and thanking you and praising you that you have the answer through this trial as well today. Let there be a breakthrough in those lives, Father. Give them a glimpse of your glory. Give them a glimpse, Father, of the light at the end of the tunnel that they can see that you are working when it doesn't seem like you are. For we know you are and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our last hymn will be 581. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And it is. Let's stand together. before the benediction, excuse me, Mark Anderson handed me a note of praise regarding his daughter Taylor, who's doing a mission trip to University of Minnesota with the Navigators. At least that's been her goal. She was here a couple weeks ago. And Mark says, "For your information, the Lord must have been on Taylor's side. She has received 75% of her goal. She will be starting her campus mission work tomorrow at the University of Minnesota. God be with her. Praise the Lord." Amen. That was a big goal, 40,000. I don't know if she said that day or not. So maybe God's been working on your heart yet, and you want to help with the other 25%. I'm sure you could talk to Mark. God bless Taylor as she goes. And Scott, no offense there, I just have to tease you. Scott loves to tease, and I love him dearly. If he ever gets in this pulpit, I guess I'd be in trouble. Payback. Please receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day.